I love coconut oil.
I love broccoli.
That's not really a yes and.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we were just naming things we like.
No. I like yes and.
Go with that. I also like coconut oil.
Do you?
I don't know.
Oh. I don't like kale anymore. I think everyone likes coconut oil.
I don't like people who are rude to me.
About coconut oil? I don't know how we're tying this in.
I'm just, yes, this is my version of yes.
Where
and.
Was coconut oil a year ago? Did it exist? I assume things only exist once I discover them.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know if anyone was using coconut oil.
Was quinoa a thing?
I've been eating quinoa for like 8+ years.
Right.
So that's the thing for me.
Right.
So, but no kale.
Like, when did this whole high fiber revolution start?
Why do kids wear their pants so low? What is going on with that?
Or what's up with one pant leg up and the other one down?
No, we're done now.
Oh, sorry.
Hello and welcome to episode 203 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada. And with me as always is...
Adam.
As always in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah. Still sitting across from you. Same as last week or
nose
5 minutes ago.
Yes. Nose to nose.
Nose to nose.
What's going on, Adam?
The same thing.
I want to retell that Parents' Night story, but make it good this time.
In the last 45 minutes, you've been rehearsing it in your head.
Oh, there was another part I didn't tell you.
Okay, let's hear that part.
The kids are supposed to bring their own lunch.
To Parents' Night.
To school.
Oh, to school.
To kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so one of the dads put up his hand and thought, hey, how about instead of making your kids lunch every day... How about we all take turns making lunch for the entire class?
Ooh.
There's 50 people.
Wow.
Where does he think I live? A restaurant?
Yeah.
How am I going to make lunch for 50 kids?
Kraft mac and cheese in a garbage pail.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite shocking when I walked across the room and smacked him in the mouth. He's not expecting that.
No.
Best parents' night ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Turns into first rule of Parents' Night. Do not talk about Parents' Night. I was hanging pictures.
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You do that. It's the first time because we're in the new house, you know? And so it's blank slate. And so I had to think about it. I didn't want to just hang pictures gradually. Like just start throwing them up here and there willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you.
Yeah, what I've done. No, I've very carefully plotted it out. here's a piece of advice for those who don't want to have to hang and rehang. Mm-hmm. Those little photo frames you see behind you, like where it's, I don't know if you call it photo frames, photo ledges.
Yeah.
Awesome, because you can just change the photos whenever you want. Take whatever photo.
Those are new, aren't they?
I've had them for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're awesome because nothing permanent about it. You could just hang or not hang. You could just place whatever frame photos on those ledges you would like and change them at whatever interval you would like without basically taking anything down.
Absolutely.
So they're cheap. Those were IKEA. I want to say like $20 for a package of three ledges.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've got two in my family room, one in my kitchen over there by the window. You could see. Also, you know, the other thing I quite like nowadays that I see, we use it in our house for hanging the kids' art, but just as easily could be photos, as those wires, you know, that you kind of picture wire that you can run whatever 10 feet long, and then you put, they come with the little clips, and you just basically clip photos to them. Awesome.
Yeah. Save that for the Christmas Buyer's Guide episode.
Great.
That's a good one.
This is a precursor to that.
That'll be on there. Yeah, I love it. But I went around the house and basically I didn't want there to be... I wanted the frames to actually be part of the art. Mm. In that I wanted to make sure every picture was the same height in, mm-hmm. in each room anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was sort of cohesion amongst the house, and that so each frame was perfectly placed so that there's the same amount of space between every frame. And so I measured twice, cut once.
Mm-hmm.
No cutting. Hammered nails once. Because we own the house. It's the first house I've owned. Up until then, it's been rentals. And I don't know if... Do you remember when you lived in a rental?
It's been a while.
Yeah, but you pounded nails wherever you felt like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm not going to measure at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's wrong, pound another one.
Yeah.
When it's your own house, all of a sudden, I'm being really careful. I'm pounding exactly one hole. So I'm going to go ahead and measure them all out. So that's what I did.
Great.
Yeah. But the idea being that if I decide to change photos, I'll just change it in that frame.
Right.
So basically, I mapped it out so I could hang blank frames everywhere. And even if I didn't put pictures in, it looked gorgeous with blank frames.
If you change the frame, the problem is that the wire on the back of the frame placement might not be exactly the same mm-hmm. frame to frame. And then you're out of luck. So you are now... pot committed to those frames forever, or you will be either doing new nails or spending a ridiculous amount of time trying to get the wire in the exact same place or tension so that it hangs at the right height.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No. Hopefully no one comes over to your house and takes a hockey stick to one of your frames.
Did that happen?
It could happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Shoot anything interesting?
Shoot anything interesting this week, Adam?
No, I didn't.
In the last 8 minutes?
Nope.
Okay, me neither.
Great.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. The moving on part.
Moving on part. Yeah. Photo challenge then.
Remembrance
Day. So because I was in Canada, not when you're listening to this, of course, I happened to be in town for Remembrance Day.
Yes.
Nova 11.
Yes.
And every year I always go to one of the ceremonies. And so you attended.
We went together.
Yes. Well, not as dates.
No. Your dad.
It was. Yeah, he chaperoned.
Three-way dance.
Yeah, he chaperoned. But we went to the one in Richmond.
Yeah.
You know, and meh.
Yeah.
Meh. It's all right. But... the idea was we're going to take a challenge photo. It's going to be of Remembrance Day.
Yes.
So let's have a look at... you want to go first or second?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. I'll do mine first then because you went first last week. So I had a photo in mind. I wanted to take a picture of bagpipes.
Right.
Because that's my favorite part of any parade in Canada is the bagpipes. There were no bagpipes.
No. Disappointing.
I'm shocked. Shocked. If you're listening and you're Canadian, and you might be also disappointed that there was no bagpipes at our parade. That seems odd to me.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
But next up, I had one of two photos in mind. It was bagpipes and the red surge
mm-hmm.
of the RCMP. And so here we go. That's the shot I took. We got in line ahead. I went along the parade route ahead of time, and I picked a spot that I liked. And was just waiting for somebody to walk into that trap. And constable, probably not a constable. He's probably like higher up than that now.
Don't know him.
Know the man.
Yeah.
But Mr. Dew right here, he walked right into the zone that I was waiting for. And boom, snapped this 85mm, 5D Mark II, done.
Why'd you crop it like that?
In a square fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need any of the external stuff.
Okay.
Now, I had to shoot this. I shot this with my 85mm prime. I didn't bring my zoom lens with me, my 70-200. And so it's kind of limited, but this is generally what I wanted. And I wanted just a nice square image. Didn't care about what was on the left or the right. I think basically every element is here. We have, you know, the nice setting, the trees we have in the background. We get out of focus. We have the Canadian flag, the British Columbia flag, and that's that.
Great. Almost the same photo I took.
Almost. I mean, mine, of course, better. But right. No, the reason I chose this spot is because the sun is off to sort of his right. He's coming. He's being cross-lit here.
Mm-hmm.
So the sun is actually coming from camera left.
Mm-hmm. Through the trees. And...
But, yes, through the trees. So it is cutting it down. But on camera right, it's actually hitting, to the right of us, is hitting a large building that is basically completely glass on the one side.
Yeah.
And that's reflecting back and lighting the subject. So I knew right, if he hit right in this zone, this was the perfect place for the light to hit.
Okay.
And that's why I chose that. So it looks, I think, well lit. The colors really pop out. And there you go. So other than that, I mean, fairly simple. It's just a situation of being the right, but picking the right spot to be.
Mm-hmm.
So now your photo
is better.
In what way?
Just a better Remembrance Day photo, I think, for the challenge. Again, I like the light. We are standing virtually in the same spot. I changed my angle a little bit. I wanted a little bit more depth in my photo. Plus, from where we were standing, there was these great colors coming from the orange in the trees that I wanted to include. So my angle is such that I could see those trees. You were standing more... I don't know, parallel to the subject, mm-hmm. I guess, a little bit more. And you missed the orange trees, which I saw as a big highlight for using. And then on the other side of it is I really wanted to show the unison of the marching. Like this is what stuck out to me in the photo. I probably took 5 photos of these guys. And I looked at this photo and I got them at different points in their gait. And again, being a physiotherapist, I appreciate some of these finer points, and not so much necessarily from a photographic standpoint, but from a kinematic standpoint.
Uh-huh.
Wow, everyone's perfectly in time here.
How's their posture?
The posture is all excellent, but just the contact point with the foot, like you can look all the way down through that,
mm-hmm.
and it is remarkable how in unison they are. Now, compare that to some of the other groups that came by, also, which I took some photos of, not even close. Mm-hmm. So these guys are expert marchers.
Right.
Yeah. So I love the fact that this photo really brings that together. Now, your photo in isolation with the one fellow is fine.
So he's in perfect with himself.
But, you know, it's fine, except for I love this for the fact that you see the whole group and look at their feet and they are awesome. Look at their arms. It is awesome. Again, I think of it in terms of the challenge and Remembrance Day. And again, all of us standing together and this photo screams
ooh,
that to me.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. I believe there's too many people here, though. These guys are encroaching. No, seriously, the guys behind.
Come on.
They are. No, yeah. I don't. I think they take away from it. I think this. I appreciate what you're going for.
Yeah.
And given the right circumstances, you would have taken this photo differently. Like, I think you probably would have got out in the street more.
Oh, yeah, but we clearly were instructed not to do that.
So. Well, also by common sense, too. We were instructed, but not only were we instructed... But also, it wasn't like you and I were waiting to bust out into the street.
Yeah.
Other people did.
Yeah, some people did. There was a constable that came by and mm-hmm. specifically said, oh, I think mail's coming, specifically said, don't do that, stay off the road. So I kind of thought that, our challenge is going to operate in the confines of not only common sense, but also instruction given to us by the police officers in charge.
By Constable Gorbachev.
Yeah. So... all things said, I like my photo much better than yours.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, good for you for being wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can agree to disagree. I think that the takeaway here for people listening at home, hopefully there's a few of those, that... do whatever you like, and if you think it's good, then great. But no, you look for good light. I think that's the takeaway. We both ended up taking photo in nearly the exact same spot for that reason. Is that here's a good spot. We could see that they were going to walk towards this good light. So you can choose wherever you want to target or whatever your subject. You could wait for it to get to that spot, but. It's good light.
So. And obviously these guys are in my photo, they are right out of frame.
Yeah, they're just out of frame.
In fact, one guy's arm was in frame.
Ooh, and you cropped that
and
in.
And I removified it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't crop it. Photoshopped it out.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Did a little bit of cloning and got rid of that arm.
Yeah.
Just so I could have complete and total isolation of, I'm just going to call him the captain.
The captain.
I'm not familiar with the ranks. in the RCMP.
Yeah.
But for me, this was very, very Canadian. And now this isn't the like a war vet, although he might be for all I know. I don't know. But he is a RCMP.
Yeah.
And so they march in the parade as well. Obviously, moving forward, fewer and fewer World War II vets around.
Yeah.
No Canadian World War I vets, if there are any around the world. I don't know. I doubt it at this point. Fewer and fewer vets. So I don't know that they even marched this year in the parade. And so I did want to get a symbol of Canadiana. And that's what that is.
I did use my 70-200 millimeter zoom lens on the full frame.
Yes.
For those keeping track. A lot of crazy camera gear out for Remembrance Day. Like, I felt like this was the Major League Baseball All-Star Game when it came to gear. Everyone seemed to be shooting for magazine covers. What was going on there?
Which is odd because... had you not said to me, hey, let's make a photo challenge of this, I would not have brought my camera.
Or me either. That's not the point.
Because
we kind of were filing it under, what are we going to do with this photo?
Yes.
Right? Like, it's not going up on the wall. It's not being posted on social media outside of the photography podcast.
Right.
I mean, I'm happy to attend the ceremony because it's the least I can do, you know, sort of thing that I want to pay my respects. I don't see the purpose of us and everybody else taking a zillion photos.
So. But you're right. That was it. You took a very funny photo. Did you keep it?
I did. My wife said I shouldn't post it.
Why?
It falls under that sort of making fun of others category. So
love that.
I can describe. Yeah, but in terms of outing somebody in a public forum.
We'll put a black bar across.
Well, that's what she said.
Face.
She said if I blur out the face, then it's fine. But as it is, she did not want me to post it. So I'll describe it for you.
We're posting it.
Yeah. Well, we can post it. I'll blur out the face because I feel like that.
No, I'm gonna Google
unblur.
I'm gonna face Google him and put his home address up there.
So
this was okay. Wait a second. This wasn't that embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, I think.
What was the problem?
A photography sense.
Are we talking about the same photo?
I'm talking about a fellow that I snapped a photo of who was... I believe it was a 1DX. I'd have to super zoom on it to find out exactly what camera body it was. But he had let's call it a $8,000 camera body with the 70-200 2.8 IS. I know it because of the size.
Uh-huh.
Again, add another $2,500. So he's holding $10,000 in camera gear. And then he has that hanging around his neck from the, you know, included strap that came with the body, which already I have a problem with.
I do not.
Because from a physiotherapy standpoint, that's a lot of weight that's literally hanging from his neck. So I'm looking at, hey, this guy's probably going for some kind of treatment soon.
And, good for you, though.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he's got that hanging from his neck. So he's not holding that. He reaches into his pocket and pulls out his phone and he's, you know, standing on his tiptoes at the edge of the crowd, reaching up and over to snap a photo with his phone.
Yeah.
So there's the irony. It's $10,000 of gear hanging from your neck while you reach in your pocket and use your phone. And I got a perfect snapshot of this occurring. And again, I call that. I said, hey, maybe we should do an irony photo because here's mine.
What do you think he was doing?
Realistically, I think he was probably posting a photo for social media.
Why?
Because that's how everyone does it. They use their phone and they have their smartphone where they just boom, click, hey, Remembrance Day, here's what I'm doing. Everyone wants to show what they're doing at any given moment. A problem that I have with society in general. Right. So, but we don't need to go into that. But I think it was like, all right, but I just happened to catch that moment. I hope he saw me take his photo doing that and thought, oh no. Oh no.
I guarantee that no, there's no way he thought that.
Yeah.
So. He thought, awesome, I'm in this photo. Hey, is that one of the hosers?
Yeah, maybe no. I'm going to make the podcast.
Yeah, maybe that's it. No, I don't think he was thinking that. I think you're right. He's probably sharing something with social media, which, again, I don't want to judge everybody out there doing that, but I'm going to. All right? I don't get it. I honestly, if any of my friends tweeted a photo of, hey, man, here I am at the Remembrance Day ceremony, I'd probably fist fight them. Yeah. So, just saying.
All right.
Before you do that next year, Adam, be prepared. So there you go. Okay, great. So we'll chalk that up as a win for me.
Yeah. It's a tie, except for, in this case, tie goes to me.
Right. Okay. Awesome. This week's topic. This one's a life changer, Adam.
Great.
Are you ready to have your life changed?
Yes.
Nah, you're fine. I think you're dialed in.
Yeah, but I'm always looking to, in some way, upgrade.
Nah, but you're already kind of lazy, so this is kind of what this applies to. No, this one's we're doing ROI this week, return on investment.
Great.
Okay. Now that it's good. We could go through the looking glass on this one. This is a dangerous topic to go with.
Okay.
So we'll try to keep it photography related.
Yes.
For the most part. A few emails triggered this. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. But there's a couple emails we got in the last week or so. I guess a couple weeks at this point, that made us do that this week. So here's one from Andrew, who has written to us before. Adam would be good to answer this. That's how he started.
Yeah, because I'm good.
Which means I'm off the hook.
Or it means that I don't care about your opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know you have covered this quite a bit, and I've Googled this like crazy, but I want a yes or no answer.
Okay. Yes.
Same lens, same lighting. Will I notice a significant difference, $2,300 US worth, he puts in brackets, upgrading to a full frame camera from his crop sensor?
Right.
Specifically from the Nikon D3100 to the Nikon D750.
A massive upgrade.
I shoot mainly available light portraits, and my go-to lens is the 50mm 1.8. I would continue to use that, but eventually I'd get the 85 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 2400 burning a hole in my pocket. Do I pull the trigger? Thanks, guys. Now at the end he said guys in plural, but Adam,
just because okay. He knew you were gonna read it. He just didn't want your feedback.
Yeah, probably. So I have my answer here. I didn't pull yours up.
Okay, how are you gonna read your answer?
I don't know.
Why don't you...
What was your answer first? First of all, he's got a Nikon D3100. I have zero seat time in that camera.
No, me too. But I look at Canon equivalents, and I'd say that's roughly equivalent to like the T2i ballpark camera crop sensor. You know, has a lot of the basic functions, but then it also allows you to kind of manually do most of everything. Again, it is, I don't know how old that camera is. We could Google it, but I'm assuming it's several years old.
Right.
So bottom line is going from any crop sensor, you know, DSLR starter camera to a full frame, whether it's the full frame he's talking about is a very high-end full frame. That's the Canon equivalent. I was thinking Canon equivalents because I know them better, of the 5D Mark III. So right. That's it. But it's $1,000 cheaper, roughly, a little less than $1,000 cheaper. So all the specs and again, Popular Photography that I just read this month had a full-on review of it, says it's an amazing camera. And they say they pretty much call it a tie when it comes to the 5D Mark III versus the D750. So I instructed this fellow, hey, have you thought about, I said the Nikon D600, but now they make a D610,
okay.
Which is, again, in Canon comparison terms, the same as what I bought was the 6D. So it's the full frame, just lacks some of the upgraded features. Mm-hmm. So I think that some of them at the D750 are video related, and it's got a swivel screen, and it's got better ISO, and it does faster bursts. So there's a bunch of features you're paying for if you're going to use them. And I suggested, because it didn't sound like, I mean, again, you can go through it. He wasn't a professional photographer, right? Like he's like me, a serious amateur enthusiast kind of persona here, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not doing this for money. And so in terms of what difference you're going to see, you are going to see a massive difference going from his camera to the D610 camera, which is, again, a full frame. You're going to get reap all the benefits of the full frame and the better ISO. You're going to lose the burst and a few of those features. And I suggested buy that because it's also going to be whatever, $700, $800 cheaper than the full frame D750. Take that extra money you save and don't buy the 85 1.4, buy the Nikon 85 1.8, because again, the difference in cost is massive and you're going to see a massive improvement from the 51.8 taking portraits, which is what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that two combo is still going to run him less than the $2,500 camera body on its own. And then you're good to go. Like that's, I think for both of us, 80% of what we shoot is the 85.1.8 on the full frame camera, and you're set. You're making mm-hmm. great photos. So
the answer is yes.
Buy it, but don't buy the D750.
Right.
was my personal advice.
My answer simply was I didn't know you'd answered.
Yeah.
And so I answered, even though he asked for you, I powered through anyway. I'm not gonna let that something like that stop me. Is it worth the $2,400? That I said, I'm not certain.
Right. You gave a I'm sitting on the fence here answer.
However, it is. Yes, full frame is worth it.
Yeah.
Is it $2,400? Similar to your answer. $2,400? No, I don't know. There are other reasons to upgrade, blah, blah, blah.
Does money grow on trees at your house?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
No, but what I basically said is I would be inclined to look for like a used D700.
Right.
A camera that's a few years old.
Yeah.
Quite a few, like 10 years now, maybe 8 years. Yeah. 8 years probably. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. Point being is a lot of stuff, you know, happened since then. But is it that? Well, can you, a friend of mine just bought one in Germany for, I think it was under 1,000 euros or something like that.
Okay.
For a used D700.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a great camera. Doesn't have all the bells and whistles as the, I guess, the 750 is what he's looking for, right?
Yes.
So, great. That's the route I went. I hadn't even thought of this, the 610 that you talked about, but it's a very similar thing.
Yeah.
And so, but good news. What did Andrew do?
He bought what I suggested. The 85.
Right.
1.8 with the D610.
Yeah, but when did he buy it?
Like 45 minutes after I sent the email. That's what I like. I like this guy. Right away, I like this guy. Absolutely. I don't even know him. One email.
Yeah.
But talk about he's dedicated.
Before. He's emailed before. Okay.
Talk about dedicated. Shout out to this guy.
It's not even just dedicated. It is that sort of decisiveness.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. These guys say this. I agree. Boom.
Yeah.
Snap the finger. Pull the trigger.
Wow.
Love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it's because he followed my advice.
So. I didn't. Yeah, I'm okay with it either way. Yeah. It was sound advice.
Yeah.
The other email we got.
You should follow my advice. Uh-huh. Like that guy.
Yeah. Once again, Adam. Addressed to Adam.
Yeah.
Good. Again, I think I just chimed in and said thank you. Thanks to Adam for answering this.
I am the demo to this podcast.
Yes.
Though. Yeah.
Absolutely. My feelings aren't hurt, man.
Okay. All right. You're whimpering. So.
No, I'm just pointing out how popular you are.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So he gave us some shipping advice when shipping from USA to Canada because we've been whining about that, about the massive fee that if you use UPS, they bend you over there and then...
update to that whole story before you go here. Paul Buff, customer service on the phone, is tremendous. Was able to have things shipped to a shipping forwarder in the US that's like a 20-minute drive from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could just go across the line, pick it up, and all done under US shipping rates, which of course is way cheaper for me. So
right.
Even though on the website there's things about not doing it that way, a simple phone call and all was made well. So
good job.
Yeah. So Paul Buff, big thumbs up.
All right. Good job, Paul B.
Yeah.
But he gave us some advice on getting it shipped to Canada using the U.S. Postal Service. That's what USPS is, right?
Yes.
U.S. Postal Service instead. It's much cheaper.
But how does that work?
I don't care.
But what I'm just saying is, and I didn't follow up with this, but usually the companies that sell the stuff, they give you the one option. This is what we use.
Uh-huh.
Shipping is this. So you don't have... You can't use anything you want. It's what they use, right?
Good point. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe they have an option for there.
Maybe.
Because Rick has used it.
For?
I don't know. Things.
Okay.
No, I don't know Rick.
No, okay.
Yeah. He's not my neighbor.
You weren't sitting down at his coffee table this morning.
No.
Whoa.
Mic kick. It's getting violent in here. No. So I don't know Rick. Rick was on the other side of Canada. Anyway, but he said that's what he does, and believe it or not, it's much quicker and a fraction of the cost.
Look for that, USPS.
Yeah, that wasn't the point.
That's an option.
That's not why we brought this up, though, but at the end, he threw a little tag on, just sort of a shout-out to us that he's been listening to the show and caught up. But he says, as a non-paid photographer,
right,
which is most everybody,
yeah,
you have cost me a fair bit of money. Now, that's addressed to Adam.
Right, because I buy lots of stuff.
Yes. No, but that, but I think what it is you've cost me a fair bit of money. Your inspiration to challenge me has improved my photography. Thanks. But it's cost a lot of money.
Right.
What was your response to that?
Is it there?
No.
Okay.
No, just give me the Cole's Notes version, the Cliff Notes.
Yeah. My response was, okay, it likely will pay you back financially at some point, but in the meantime, it's already paying you back in other ways. Like for me, the investment in what I've spent, even if I did not earn a dollar back from a photography standpoint, would still in my mind be worth every penny because I got into it to take way better pictures of my family and again, friends and whatnot. And that's the point. And so it's already paying me back, not in financially, but whatever your hobby is, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you. If you like racing RC cars, that's going to cost you. And it pays you back in the fun that you have doing it. As an example, this pays me back in the personal enjoyment and in the memories that I'm going to have down the road and what I can give to presents to family. Like when I buy a Father's Day present for my dad, it's a picture in a frame. And you know, it's not big, elaborate, expensive stuff. I have the know-how that I don't need to pay someone else to create those memories. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it pays me back.
Right. That's a long email you sent him.
Well, for a Cole's
Notes
version.
And really about you.
Yeah. Well, no. I basically said, but it is already paying you back.
And he
agreed. Of course, he agreed because, I mean, I said it. So people should agree with me.
No question. It was out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said it with exclamation point.
The end. Yeah. Moving on. Yeah. Yeah. Try that with your wife. No, I agreed. I agree. That's what the tipped me off to talk about return on investment. So the first thing is the money end of it. Like, cause to get into photography, while it's, you know, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times, right? It's the best of times because holy cow, you can do so much now. Stuff that you could never achieve, but you're going to spend money. And as you get better and better at it, it's like, kind of like golf, I think. As you get better at golf, you start spending better courses, better clubs,
absolutely,
this and that.
Yeah. Golf is a perfect example, I think, because you spend a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you make relatively little money.
You make zero money.
Yes, yeah. Unless you go on the senior tour.
Yeah, maybe then.
Which I still have a few years left to practice.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, you know? So you think about, take the money investment, you know? What do you get for your money? You know, you just nailed it. Unfortunately, you answered the question before I asked it.
Yeah, that's why it was long.
Yeah. Ideally, it's going to, the money is just, you're going to throw it away and never care. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea also is to yield as much as you can from that money.
Right.
Okay. Enjoyment, blah, blah, blah. So what do you get for that? Think more about what I wanted to talk about with the ROI, which is the fancy what the business guys talk about, return on investment.
Right.
As a lifestyle, not just a money thing. What about your time?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you put your time in. For me, time is infinitely more important than money.
Mm-hmm.
Because money, surprisingly, is actually infinite. It's out there. It's not a real thing. This is the Looking Glass part.
Great.
We're going through.
This is deep.
This is getting deep. But money isn't a real thing. It doesn't correspond to anything. It's just you work this much and you get this many credits, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can get more. Now, I'm not rich by any means, but time you can't get back.
Right.
Do not waste your time.
Right.
Why are you listening to this show? It's wasting your time. No, come on. This is great. This is great life advice.
This is part of the entertainment aspect.
Don't waste time worrying about which softbox you're going to buy.
Right.
Like we talked, it was last week, 2 weeks ago.
Just buy whatever I tell you to buy.
Do that too, but don't spend, you know, don't get the ulcer we talked about.
Right.
Just if you want that one, go ahead.
Which is what I did, by the way.
Did you buy it?
Well, it's ordered.
It's ordered. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
See, that's my advice.
Yeah.
So how much time are you going to put into a specific photo? That's the thing I think about sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to yield the results?
Right.
If I put 2 hours into creating this, am I going to get a photo that is just really top notch?
Right. And then what are you going to do with that photo?
That's also part of it.
Right. That's always, I'm always thinking at that point, okay, first off, I sort of work backwards. So what am I ultimately after? What am I going to do with the photo? So if I'm doing this for a friend who I'm looking at it like, okay, I want to have a really great photo they're going to put on their wall so other people can see it so that they can give to their parents, maybe it's a marketing tool, then I'm going to invest more time to do exactly what I have in my head. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing a snapshot of a friend's kid on the playground that is literally, I know, is a snapshot, then I'm going to invest 1.5 seconds.
Right.
So it kind of depends on, yeah, what is your end game here? What do you want out of it? Or do you want anything out of it? The snapshots I just take of my kids playing, again, I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary other than available light and just snapping photos. And I'm looking for a smiley face, and I'm going to maybe use that on social media to say, oh, hey, here's my kid. Yeah, here's this month's version of my kid.
So, you know what I do? Here's my kid today.
Yeah. I'm not a today. I'm a month. Yeah.
I try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is I extend this philosophy to my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't sit and think about it. It's just in the background always. When it comes to having an argument with somebody, I just think, what's the end game here?
Mm-hmm.
What am I hoping to achieve with this? Shall I go ahead and argue this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a speeding ticket for $175? Yeah, I'm going to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
But something silly about what I'm going to have for dinner with my wife? No, just make whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to argue this.
How come you're not making dinner?
I probably am.
Okay.
Let's be honest. I probably am.
So who are you arguing with then?
It's an internal thing. Yeah, it's man versus himself.
Okay.
That's the conflict there. But this is my true... Alan's key to happiness is risk versus reward or return on investment. I do it with diet, with things that I eat. Like, let's say chocolate. I assign numbers.
Oh, no.
Relatively. Not everything. I'm not Rain Man. No offense, Rain Man. But just for example, if, for instance, on a scale of 1 to 5, chocolate gives me an enjoyment level of 5, it's bad for me on a level of 3, but I get a 5 out of it.
Plus 2.
Boom, it's a plus 2. I'm going to go ahead and enjoy that.
Yeah.
For me, I enjoy mayonnaise, as a 2, yet it's a 5 on the is it bad for you scale.
Don't eat it.
I don't eat mayonnaise.
Wow.
Life is that simple.
Wow.
Boils down to that simple. And if you break it down, which I don't, you don't have to sit and break it down on a macro or a what's the opposite of me? Yeah, macro level.
Yeah.
On a macro level and apply it to every single thing. It starts to just happen.
Here's how it works with photography for me. And if you're listening to the podcast, probably for you, because again, I don't think you'd be investing time sitting and listening to us yammer on about photography if you weren't in some way passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're passionate about it and it's your hobby, spend what you can afford to spend, right? On any hobby. Forget about how it's going to pay you back in terms of finances.
Right.
Spend what you can afford to spend on any hobby. You have this much expendable income that's going to be dedicated to it. Spend that. And don't spend a quarter of that. If it's your allotment, spend it because it's going to give you tools to make you better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I started, is I started with, I could afford to spend this much on it, right?
Right.
So I bought the DSLR and then I bought a flash. And then I thought, wow, I'm getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. The next time I was going to spend my allotment of fun money, I was going to spend it on photography. So then I looked at, okay, what do I want next? And that's kind of how I approached it. And I kind of buy things in intervals. A couple times a year, again, when I have expendable income that's not put away for a trip or something else, then I use it on something photography related. Now I'm to the point where photography is financially paying me back. And so it's kind of money in, money out. Now I usually wait for money I make from photography before I turn around and spend photography money.
Uh-huh.
And so now it's the hobby is sustaining itself.
Good call. That's a great business model.
There you
go.
For a hobby.
Yeah, you're not gonna feed the kids with that
no.
business model. But yeah, well, it's kind of like our show. You know, our show started out as a hobby, and now it sustains itself.
Right.
Not really feeding my kids with it yet.
No.
But that's not the point.
But that's when the t-shirt money really rolls in.
What about... what about... We call it merch.
The merch money.
Well, merch dollars. What about the other end, the physical investment that you make?
What do you mean?
For example,
bench press my camera?
Bench pressing your camera. No, but let's say you go to Disneyland and you think, okay, I'm going to go to Disneyland. What am I going to carry with me? Because you're going, you don't go to Disneyland, you know, for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You go for the day,
right,
with your kids. How do you, how do you decide what you're going to carry with you on that day?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question because it's going to change day to day. I usually think about what's the least invasive, like for something like that, what's the least invasive thing I can bring, and ultimately the best picture or best again, finding the happy medium, the best picture I can achieve with the minimal amount of stuff to bring. So there's a lot of variables that'll factor into that, and a lot of it is time of day, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm Disneyland is a good example. If I'm going in the evening, then I'm going to bring just the camera with this small sized lens, the 85 or the 50 millimeter lens, and I don't need anything else.
Okay.
Versus the 70 to 200 or multiple lenses.
Why don't you
or,
just bring it all?
Because I don't have to
carry it. What if you need it? What if you need it, though?
Yeah, no.
What if all of a sudden, you know, your kid throws up on the Matterhorn and you think, man, I could use a real tight photo of that.
Yeah, too bad.
Too bad. Yeah. There you go. See, that's the part. It's not about, you know, thinking about, you know, what I'm going to take specifically, but what's the payoff?
Right.
Now, okay, I'm going to carry the 70 to 200 around all day. What's the physical toll going to be versus the one photo I might get?
Yeah, and that's and it.
Even might. If I get it. Yeah. Let's say I do get it. Is that going to be the game changer? You did it, honey.
Yeah.
You did it. The screen door.
Yeah. And I can honestly say that I've been to Disneyland with my camera twice. And I think on the trip once brought the 70 to 200 millimeter. Don't believe I ever used it.
Right.
I could be wrong. If I did it, I used it once and then said, wow, I don't want to carry this thing around.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I know, like, you know, back in the film days, my dad... When the last time he went to vacation to California or wherever it was, took all of his equipment, all of his very heavy FD lenses and all that stuff, and zoom lenses and like every single lens, I got it all covered, and basically came back with, you know, spinal problems,
right,
from having to carry it all over the place, and the pictures, they don't adorn our walls.
Mm-hmm.
So now this sounds like very negative. Like there's times where you want to bring it for that. And it is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. If you're going to Everest Base Camp, maybe you do want to bring those because you're going to get some phenomenal pictures, and then it will be worth it.
And that's the other thing. I mean, this leads into a return on investment from a physical standpoint purchase option. Everybody, now that you've had one, now that I've had one for a while, everybody should own a camera strap, like a dedicated camera strap that goes over your shoulder versus your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of cost, depending on how fancy you want to get, let's say anywhere from $40 to $100, that would be a pretty good standard average of just the shoulder strap ones. That cost people see as high. They're like, oh, well, I get an included strap. Why would I want to drop $50 on a special strap? Well, carry your camera around all day at Disneyland and then tell me whether or not it's worth $50 mm-hmm. for a one-time purchase. Probably never going to break down.
Right.
So,
that's true.
So it is. It's a one-time purchase. $50 might seem high to you for something that's included, but it's completely different than what's included. And weight distribution and ease, comfort, all of that for $50, small price to pay.
So does everybody, let's say, need a good flash?
No.
No. If you don't take flash pictures, again, now you have to decide what's the ROI going to be.
Right.
You know, I take 3 flash pictures a year.
Yeah,
I'll put the money somewhere else and buy a prime lens.
Right.
Or maybe you do take a lot of flash pictures, and therefore you buy it. A macro lens. How many macro shots do you take a year?
0.
How many would you like to take a year?
1.
There you go. Do you own one?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
And that's where, in those situations, I like to rent.
Yeah.
Now, I don't rent macro lenses, but on this job I just did a couple weeks ago, normally when I shoot video, I shoot with my 5D Mark II, on which the audio is terrible, right? So I shoot that separately. So I record that to the H4N that we're using to record this.
Right.
And so that's what we call dual system sound. And basically, I have to then sync everything up later.
Right.
Or use one of the... I understand there's programs for that. It's not the point. It's time intensive. But here's an ROI example. The sound is phenomenal. The sound on the H4N is really, really good. It requires more work. And in the end, it's worth it. On this last job I just did, I did not have time to record dual syncs, like sync sound, dual system sound. I was working by myself on a really run and gun tight schedule, so I needed to have camera audio pumped right into the camera, synced up, ready to go. So I went and rented one of the Beech Tech audio adapters that's designed specifically for DSLR video.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kind of thing that I looked at that and thought, wow, I would really like to have this. But then took a step back and thought, at that price point...
How much?
The one I rented is actually discontinued. But in Canada, for some reason in Canada and Germany, the price is ridiculous, like $1,000.
So $1,000 for this mic that plugs into your camera?
It's not a mic. No, it's just an adapter.
Oh, okay.
It's just an adapter I can plug mics into.
Oh, okay.
And it's essentially a mixer.
Yeah.
So I can ride levels and stuff like that and then feed a direct... Even tone into the camera,
okay,
so that it doesn't go crazy. But it was, for some reason in Canada, they seem to go for $1,000. I think they're about 400 and 500 at B&H, like half the price. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
but I didn't do too much looking into it because I knew they're expensive, and you know, for $50, I can rent it the one time I need it.
Right.
So boom, I'm happy to do that. Although I would love to have it, the investment just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on this job, it saved me, that $50 investment saved me probably minimum 20 hours, say 15 hours of work.
Mm-hmm. Here's the flip side of that argument. On a different item, I was looking at what would it cost to rent one of those Paul Buff like Vegamons. So a power supply for your studio flash if you want to go and take it outside. To rent one, so the unit brand new, right, is $240 US. To rent one, I'd somewhere in the vicinity of about $28 for a day.
Right.
So I thought, okay, how many times in the lifespan of my flash would I possibly use this? And let's say for me, I'd think minimum, I'd probably do it 50 times. I'm going to say that. Probably more, because once you have it, I think you'll tend to use it more.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say 50 times. Well, now at $25 a pop even... they're not even close together.
No.
And so it's like, all right, if I only ever planned on doing it two or three times, then the rental thing makes sense. Because the item...
Not even on the money
side. But the item is so cheap. Because you can go rent a lens, a $2,400 lens, for not much different.
Yeah.
And that's where they need to make these renting for $5. When an item's that cheap, it's just more cost effective if you plan on using it to just buy it outright versus rent something like that.
But I've rented sandbags before.
Really?
Yes. Only because, I mean, I'm not where I live, but I've flown in for a job.
You didn't want to make them.
Yeah, I didn't want to make them. I'm not going to fly with my empty sandbags and then fill them up
here.
So for me, the ROI is, yeah, it's going to cost me $8 to rent, you know, half a dozen sandbags for the day, or I can go spend 2 hours filling mine up.
Right.
Well, that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the return comes. Same with you renting this, the Vagabond thing. Let's say it made financial sense. Let's say you're gonna use it 50 times. It worked out to 1/50th of the cost,
mm-hmm.
and you do that. Well, now you factor in going to the store
back and forth
because you don't live on top of a camera store,
right?
You have to go to it. You have to sign it out, give them your card, blah blah blah, do all that, and bring it back. So you have those two trips. Factor all of that in.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, boom, no question.
Yeah.
See, for me on this one job, it was pick it up on the way to the job. After I leave here, go drive it down. That's kind of a hassle, but I do have $950 in my pocket, and I can't imagine when I'll use this thing again.
Right.
If it's once a year, I will be surprised, because I much prefer doing it this other way, and most of my jobs allow me to record sound separately.
Right.
So there you go. So that's where I think of the return on investment. And once I decided on it, once I thought, you know what, I could struggle with this thing and record it and possibly not have any problems, or for $50, make my life really simple,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so today I'm reaping the benefits of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
There you go.
Great.
Apply this to your life, you know? tell your kids to think about the ROI on this.
Okay.
Should we buy this the DVD or just sit in the car and cry?
Yeah.
Go with that one.
Yeah.
Go with the crying.
For kids, the way it applies to me is like instead of buying, you know, that toy that I think they're gonna play with for 3.5 seconds, we like to buy presents that are going to be experiences. Mm-hmm. So rather than, you know, whatever the $50 toy would, I'd rather spend $100 on the hockey tickets and go and do the experience because I think that's a better return on investment. They're going to be talking about that hockey game, you know, 6 months or a year or 2 years down the road versus that toy gets played with for 3.5 minutes and then it's on to the next thing. So it has to be a pretty wickedly awesome toy to hold longer than that.
Comparing experience with something that's tactile.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought about those terms before. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great.
Great.
Next week's challenge.
We haven't done it. I don't think yet.
We're
running into a few challenges that we haven't covered or that we can come up with we haven't covered. So
tap dancing.
Yeah. No, I thought product photos because that's something I can't think of ever doing other than for a Craigslist item where I'm trying to sell it quickly. So I'm trying to make my product look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this is a super popular area of photography and where people get paid. So how about we entertain the notion of shooting a product shot?
Done.
Great.
Let's do it. Okay. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Facebook Two Hosers. When maybe I'll put something up there soon.
We're gonna put the picture of the guy, the embarrassing guy.
Oh yeah, blurred out.
Blurred guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that embarrassing.
Didn't I paint a word picture?
Put it up.
All right.
Yeah. Just because.
Okay.
Just on principle. Otherwise, why'd you take the picture?
I just made it up.
Where's your return on that investment?
We got 5 minutes of podcast.
But you didn't have to take it. You could have just talked about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yesterday, while I was heading to work, I did see I snapped a photo at a stoplight.
Yeah.
And this, I'm not going to post this one because there's no return.
Of someone texting. You're like, they're the bad guy. You've got your camera out at the intersection. Yeah. And you're taking photos, but they're texting.
No. I wanted to take a picture of, it was one of the new drivers. In BC, we have the new drivers system. So you have to put a little N on the back of your car if you're a brand new driver. Of course, the kids put it sideways.
Yeah, that's the cool move.
Because what up? So this guy did have it as a Z, and that's not what I was taking. I wasn't taking a picture of the Z. I was taking a picture of the N sign on the brand new Lamborghini.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to let my kid drive that.
Oh, my goodness. My first car did cost me $200. It had no reverse.
Awesome.
That's a true story. I had to back up like Fred Flintstone with my foot out the door, and I would push my car backwards.
Wow.
Yeah. Or park on a hill. Generally park on a hill, but, you know. So that was me versus this guy with the brand new Lambo.
Wow.
So good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for his dad.
Oh, goodness. Anyways.
Or mom.
Yeah. Check out my stuff at alanatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com where you can find out everything you want to know. That's it, Adam. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.